Welcome to Halicast, the official podcast of Halastar Forums. I'm your host, VL, and along with my co-host, Frouth, we work to bring you the latest in Pendragon each week. Join us for news, theories, discussion, and more. Rolling along nicely into the double digits with Halicast number 11 for the week of May 11th. Wait, Halicast 11 on May 11th. Anyway, this is VL, your host, and...
This is Frouth,
your other host. And we are here to bring you the latest in Pendragon for this week. Surprisingly there has been some Pendragon news this week. DJ recently did a video interview with Ball State University's My Visit, and during the interview he talked about core themes in the Pendragon books, the graphic novels, his future in writing, as well as other topics, and we'll talk about that in a bit. We're speeding through this a little fast. Halicast is now accessible. We always used to have our voicemail service, and people were complaining because they don't want to call 1206-202-1305, which you can still call and leave a voicemail, but people didn't want to spend the money on a long-distance call. So we hooked up a little thing in Skype. We've had the Halicast Skype name for a while, and you can add us to Skype and send us a voicemail through there. And that just Halicast, just all lowercase letters, Halicast. We'll put that in the show notes, too. It's my birthday on Monday. Yay.
Happy birthday.
It's VL Day.
It's VL's beef day.
You don't sound excited. I was excited for Frouth Day.
Yeah, well, it's not VL Day, it's Beef Day.
Beef Day.
Happy Beef Day.
Happy Beef Day.
You big stupid fart.
Why did the recording do that all of a sudden? Anyway, VL turns 98 on Monday. Oh, 98. Send all your milk in the bags to, for my birthday at,
Bandwidth would be nice.
Bandwidth would be nice. We need some new bandwidth for our podcast host. Because you guys have been downloading our show so much, we've run out of bandwidth for the month of May already. All 15 gigabytes of it. So, we need money.
Bad.
Very bad. If you are listening to this and,
are made of money.
Or are willing to...
yourself.
But yeah, seriously, if you're interested in sponsoring a podcast and you like our show and want to give us money so we can keep it going, please do contact us at halicast@gmail.com because we're running out of podcasting space. Yeah.
Space and bandwidth.
And bandwidth. Specifically bandwidth. Because, we've been getting...
Our limit for the month is 15 gigabytes. We have 17.6.
Yeah. Because you guys have been downloading our show so much, and we don't want you to stop downloading our show, but... We're just there's such a thing as too popular, if you know what I'm saying. Not to gloat, but we are too popular. So please.
We never anticipated this.
We really didn't. So we signed up with this rinky-dink little Podomatic server, which Podomatic is great. They've done us some great stuff.
If they want to, get rid of our bill, then they're the best.
We can we'll advertise for Podomatic as much as they want us to if they'll get rid of our bill for Podomatic Pro.
We should get sponsored by Doritos.
Why Doritos?
Because we talked about that in the second episode, I think.
That's right. We did. We talked.
Shameless plugs.
Yes. We'll see. We didn't actually expect that we were going to need a corporate sponsor. But,
we need a sponsor.
Yeah, I'm going to have to contact a few people. If you or someone you know are interested in sponsoring a podcast, then please, you just send us an email at halicast@gmail.com. We'd love to have you. Big shout out to our friends over at Not Uther, who just released their first episode. I just thought I'd put that out there. Kayla's doing a great job. She's, and hopefully we'll get her on the show sometime. Anyway, let's talk about this interview. Did you watch it?
As much access to a computer as of late, not yet.
Well, I took some notes here, which should suffice. Like 10 pages. Well, maybe, let's see, 1, 2, so these pages are blank, so I can take these ones out of here. I was hoping he'd talk about Raven Rise, but he didn't say anything about Raven Rise. I got 1, 2, 4 pages of notes. Five if you count the little thing. I didn't anticipate that many notes, and I started building this little piece of post-it note paper, and then it started dragging on, so. The interviewer from Ball State asked him, first, if there's one main concept that students or people can learn from your books, do you have any idea what it might be? And he said, quote, self-empowerment. I put young people into situations where there's conflict, where they are faced with some kind of dilemma. The question is, how are they going to solve it, unquote. And that's definitely a powerful message that he's trying to send across there. I really, now that I went back and looked, flipped through the Pendragon books, and like that really seems like... He also, his other comment on that subject was that he, where's my paper? He tends to close doors. He keeps closing doors gradually until, to sources of help like parents, police, and other adults, until the character has to solve the problem by themselves without any exterior forces.
Metaphorically, the collapse flume on Elon, closed door. Oh.
Yeah, that's okay. True. It's a metaphor for the clothes. Only like here. I don't think the recording's picking you up. I'm gonna move a little closer to the computer. What else did he say? Interesting stuff in the graphic novels. The thing that I found most interesting was the fact that he said straight out, and this is a quote. It's more about providing something for the fans of graphic novels who wouldn't necessarily go pick up a Pendragon novel, unquote. It's not for the Pendragon fans specifically, but it's for the people that might say, you know what, that's a graphic novel. It says Pendragon. I don't know what Pendragon is, but I'll pick it up and I'll read it. And they'd like it. Because it's sort of a sci-fi. It's more for fans of the genre and more for fans of graphic novels than for people like us who are hardcore, diehard, you know, Pendragon addicts, obsessives, freaks. Which isn't a bad thing, but hey. he also said, Lost City of Fire is confirmed. Hopefully Merchant of Death will be successful and he'll be able to keep going. He said he hopes that they will do more. Like, Never War on. But Lost City of Fire is confirmed. He showed a finished, complete edition of it.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He has Ravenrise, too.
He did. There was a copy of Ravenrise sitting on the desk. He didn't pick it up, though, and I wanted him to pick it up and flash the pages, but he didn't.
Read some of it.
That would be pretty cool. But, excuse me. Yeah, the graphic novel, it's very thin. It's a lot thinner than I would have expected. But it's quite... It's a big book. Like height, lengthwise. But it's not the thickest novel you'll ever read. It's like, did you ever see one of those Bone graphic novels? I used to love those. Bone?
Oh, yeah, those ones. Yeah.
I used to love those. I never finished the series because I just never had time to read them and sort of grew out of them. But, they were good. That's sort of what the dimensions of it were like. Also, he said that he didn't write the text. Kylo Speed McNeil did the illustrations and the text, which worries me. She adapted it, and he also said that things were added and subtracted, which I don't so much mind added as subtracted.
Well, like you said, it's not really for the people of Pendragon fans.
Yeah, but it's still a danger fans. In doing graphic novels and movies and stuff like this before the series is actually over, before you know everything, because if you take something out that's crucial to the plot of Book 10, you're screwed.
Well, maybe if he went over it, he could say, no, you need to keep this part in or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I guess it's incredibly accurate, according to DJ. He said it's an incredibly accurate representation of the novel or something like that. And the characters look a lot like he thought. Which is cool. I mean, I don't know if they'll look exactly like I thought. Because, I mean, I read book 4 first. So I pictured Courtney like Azure through the entire time that I read Merchant of Death. So, because I saw Azure on the cover and thought of it anyway. But yeah, some exciting news on the graphic novels. I wish he'd done more on Ravenrise, but I don't think he wants to talk about Ravenrise all that much. He's also writing book 10 right now, and it's doing good apparently. So, but the probably the most interesting news of the whole interview, I thought at least, was that he will be writing 4 more book series for Simon & Schuster. He's been signed on for 4 more series. Not Pendragon related, but 4 more series.
Wait, wasn't there something about like a spinoff
thing? There is some spinoff stuff on his site. I haven't heard any more news on that. That's a couple months ago.
Yeah.
There's no... It's gone now. He took it off. Maybe they're not doing it anymore. I hope so. I mean, it sounded
when they announced the graphic novels. They also said, like, spin-off novels about the territories, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway. It sounded like it was going to be interesting. I really hope he does go through with it. Because that would be a lot of stuff to add to HaloWiki. Check out HaloWiki at halowiki.wiki-site.com.
So the 4 book series.
The 4 book series, the first book in the next series will be released a year after the 10th book is released. The 10th book is released in 2009, and the first book of his next series, entitled Morpheus Road, will be released in May 2010.
I think it's going to be with The Matrix.
On The Matrix. So.
Yeah, Morpheus. I don't know.
Morpheus is such a common word, and...
I know.
What does Morpheus mean? Let's see. Morpheus. Well, it's a file sharing program. He's a Greek god.
He's from The Matrix.
He's a font that they use in many sci-fi things, including the covers of the Pendragon books.
Yeah. So, what were the other ones?
Also, Morpheus Road is all planned out, and it's a spooky trilogy, he says. The other series that he's talking about, is for younger, aimed at younger readers between the ages of 8 and 11. And that's called The Equinox Curiosity Shop. And I didn't take a lot of notes on that one, but he said it was about a boy who brags himself up and makes up stories about himself that aren't true. And a little elf thing hears him and thinks he's a hero. And takes him off to another world. I don't really know. I'll probably read Morpheus Road, but I can't see myself picking up a copy of The Equinox Curiosity Shop. Also, he's writing a picture book called The Monster Princess, so any children's book fans out there, young children, people with young children, I don't know if there's any adults that read Pendragon that might have young children, but TJ's writing a book called The Monster Princess, based off of, because his young daughter likes monsters and princesses, so he decided to combine them, that's what he said. He also talked about how he's excited to move on into the new characters of Morpheus Road, but he's sad to leave Pendragon. So, and that is sad. I'm sad to leave Pendragon. 2 years. No, 1 year, and Pendragon's over.
Mm.
This time next year will be...
I feel a strange sense of melancholy anytime.
Just like Harry Potter.
Just
no!
Anytime a series.
I just brought up Harry Potter again. I'm sorry. Anyway, you can view this interview at www.bsu.edu/myvisit and click the cover of Raven Rise on the main page. And, well, that was a very long intro segment. We sort of went off on a tangent on DJ's interview there. What's coming up in this show? I forgot to... coming up in this show, we've got a Circle of Klee on... We'll announce it then. I don't know what it is as of this moment. We have a Quilling Games, because you can't do Halocast without the Quilling Games. We have... What else do we have? Oh, we have a brand new segment called Territory Talk, where we're going to discuss... It's a sort of 10-episode thing. For the next 10 episodes, we're going to do it. That means, I guess, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20.
How about you just do 11?
11.
Plus 10.
Plus 10. 20? No, 21.
I'm going to hit you now.
Ow.
I meant to make a slapping sound when I hit you.
No, but we got... for the next 10 episodes, we're going to do... Well, maybe just 7, because we might do all the Earths in one. But we're going to do one on each territory and discuss that territory, say what we know about it, what we hope to find out, what we think its purpose is going to be in the coming books, and... all about the territories, and that's called Territory Talk. So look forward to that. Anyway, this intro segment has dragged on for almost 15 minutes now. So we'd better press on with our show, and we'll see you up next with Territory Talk.
Get ready for some territory talk. Each week, the Halicasters will take one territory of Hala and discuss it for your listening pleasure. What's up this week?
Yes, that's right. We're here with our new segment, Territory Talk. Three guesses what we're doing in this segment.
We're,
talking about territories?
I was going to say something witty, but I couldn't think of something right off the bat.
Yeah, you could just bring back an old inside joke, and that would be stupid, but I don't think, anyway.
Like what one? Milk in a bag?
Or leaks?
Closing the Java booth?
Ooh, episode one. Anyway.
I said it in like the first three episodes just so I could try to make it a running gag, but then I got too lazy.
Running gags don't work on Halicast. Our listeners aren't smart. I mean, aren't cooperative enough to do running gags. I'm just kidding. You guys are great. Anyway, what Territory Talk is we're just going to, it's sort of a series of mini things where each week for the next 10 weeks we're going to be talking about a different territory of Hala, different stuff about it, different just how it works, things like that. We will be using a lot of Hala Wiki and a lot of Guide to the Territories of Hala and a lot of books. So, because this is going to be an academic discussion of, well, as academic as we can get on Halicast, of each territory. So, yeah.
So, what order are we going to go in?
I think we should do in the order of the books, but skip First Earth. We'll do Denderon, Chloral, Velox, Elong, Zada, Zada, I'm sorry. See, that's another thing we have to talk about pronunciation. Quillen. Actually, you know what? Let's skip Velox, too. We'll do Denderon, Chloral, Elong, Zada, Quillen, Velox, Ibarra, and then the Three Earths. I bet I missed one.
No, I don't think you did.
Okay. anyway, so yeah, that's the order that we're going to do them in. And so this week we're going to start off with Denderon. Denderon, open up the Hala Wiki page here. Denderon is one of the 10 territories of Hala. Bobby Pendragon visits Denderon in the first book of The Merchant of Death. Now, first off, I just want to talk a bit about pronunciation. How do you pronounce Denderon?
Denderon.
Denderon. I've heard it Denduron. I've heard it
Dendruon.
Dendruon. I've seen it spelled Dendruon. well, it's probably a typo, but there's really no difficulty in pronouncing Denderon. There's probably a bunch of different ways that people out there pronounce it. But there are definitely much more complicated territories to pronounce. Anyway, also we've got, yeah.
I think First Earth is the most challenging to pronounce.
Oh, Second Earth.
Who even heard it?
Quillen. Quillian. Actually, I've seen a Quillian. Anyway, we're getting off topic.
In fact, the Quillen page used to be
Quillian. Oh, that made me mad. the geography of Denderon, it has a total of 15 continents, 12 of which are uncharted. The largest continent, Beidou, is the area where the Merchant of Death takes place. And the other two charted continents are Nod and Gala. And I guess just what I want to start on is sort of incorporating into the Hala timeline theory that we talked about a couple episodes ago, where, you know, every territory is one after the other, like.
Okay, wait. What I don't understand about the territories is, it's just, like, one planet in, like, one whole other universe.
We don't know that. That's what we're hoping to find out. Because apparently in the interview that DJ did, he actually said the flumes were made for a reason, and they were created. He said it in a broadcast, and I couldn't get the broadcast because I don't have the new QuickTime, and I can't download it for some reason.
Well, wasn't it like Press was saying that if you go to where Second Earth should be,
yeah,
it won't be there, meaning it's in another dimension almost.
Yeah. But that doesn't completely shoot down the territory, the theory. There are loopholes. But anyway, as it has 15 continents, 12 of which are uncharted. And the thing that I think is important is the highest peak located on Nod is Orlu, standing at 29,112 feet. This is taller than Second Earth's Mount Everest. And
why do you think that's important?
Because a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, I mean, I as one person, saw a lot of parallels to the fact that there's a mountain in the area on Denderon where they went. There was a mountain in Fire on Chloral. There was a mountain range on Elon in the area that the story took place. There's a big common theme of mountains. There was, like, was there a mountain? And on Quillen, one of the Quillen games involved, like, a mountain. There's a common theme of mountains and sort of, like...
rain.
Yeah, and it seemed like... yeah, rain, exactly, so...
I think the Earth territories are the only ones that don't have it. Or that and Ibarra. Not Ibarra, what am I saying? Velox.
Velox.
But technically it does.
Technically
it's just not where it is.
And, I mean, people... I read somewhere that somebody thought that the mountain on Denderon is the same as the mountain of Fire, and that Fire and Blackwater are one and the same because the mountain is the same on Denderon, Fire, and Elon. We're getting ahead of ourselves. We're talking about Denderon today.
Yeah. Do you think we'll ever learn more about the languages of all the territories?
I really hope so. That would be so interesting. I sound like a linguistics nut, like a Loisoi. I'm sorry. No, I do. I think that would be really cool if we could get, like, a Denderonese dictionary or something. There's actually a Soba Board Few, a knight yelling at Press Tilton. Buto Buto Aga Forden Kadar, a knight accusing Press of spying on Kagan. Agata Van Bursa.
Yes.
Anyway. So, yeah. That's the linguistics. The Malego and Vedawan seem to speak the same language, as despite low levels of conflict, there seems to be little communication difficulty between them.
How many, like races are there on?
You know what? I'm going to find that out.
Because there's three known ones.
Thank God for the Guide to the Territories of Hela.
There's three.
I want to look it up in the book. I don't want to go in Hela.
There's three that I know for sure.
There's
Noven.
Principal tribes are Baduan, Galavau, Milago, Noven, Renavian, and Tum.
You think we'll ever see the other three?
Yes. Well, oh, is it?
Did I count it wrong?
It's Ravenian, not Renavian. And it's Runian. That font is really weird, so it's hard to read.
Yeah.
But on Hallowick it says Reunion. Or Ruinian. I don't know. Because it could be in Ravenrise in the excerpt, it talks about a tribe on the other side of the mountain from the Malago that was preparing for war. And that could be... it's not the Novans because they work in the Baduan Castle. It's not the Baduans because they're in the Baduan Castle. So it could be
It also said that the Novans were from overseas.
Yeah. And it could be the Galavaus, the Runians, or the Tombs.
Yeah.
Most of these tribes operate via monarchy, such as the Baduans ruler. We don't know that for sure, do we? Do they actually operate by monarchy? Yeah, I'm changing the Hallowiki page. We don't know that for sure.
Anyway.
I'll change it later.
Go on, that's...
Significance to Hala. Yeah, this is what I want to talk about with Denderon. This is the meat of sort of the territory. Is, St. Dane said it was the first one to fall. And at the end of Pilgrims of Rain, he sort of confirmed it. He said, yeah, Denderon will be the first one to fall.
But
does that mean...
wasn't technically Velox the first one to fall? Because it's already, like, fallen.
That's what I'm saying.
But Denderon's,
if Denderon's the first
to
fall,
right now,
if Denderon's the first one to fall...
that means that Velox and Quillen are still safe.
Velox and Quillen are still safe. And, yeah, Velox and Quillen are still safe. Which means this further... this even further furthers the Hela timeline theory. Because if...
would that mean that Denderon is actually the first in the timeline?
Or it could be the last. That's what I'm saying. It could be the first, or it could be the last. And I actually think in Alola Sois...
but wait, didn't it say that Elon was the most primitive? It was the most...
yeah, I'm going to have to go to Halastar.
It says in the Guide of Territories, doesn't it?
I don't think so.
So something about Elon being early.
The Hala timeline, very popular thread.
It said it under the time thing. Where is it? Time measured.
Yeah, he has Elon first and then Denderon second, which means... it seems like... if Denderon was the first to fall... what if it was the first? Because if it was... it means Velox and Quillen are still safe. You can still do something in the time. If it was the time... I'm sorry, we're not doing Denderon. We have to do Denderon. But it'll be the first to fall. If it's the first to fall... how is it going to fall?
Obviously the tack.
Yeah, because they brought it back. The tack. Like, solid.
Can't they just get rid of it the same way they did last time?
They could, I guess.
I thought he destroyed all of it. I didn't...
For some reason, I think it... Doesn't it stop working when it gets wet or something?
I don't know.
There's the tack. There's a page on tack here.
I don't think there's much there.
It was discovered... Tack is a highly explosive substance found on the territory of Denderon. It was originally discovered by the merchant Figgis, who was later impersonated by St. Denis. He sold tack to the Malago in an effort to bring about a revolution against Betawan oppression, which turned out to be the turning point of the territory. Bobby believed he had destroyed all the tack, but in the Pilgrim's Rain, it is rediscovered and plays a large part in the turning point of the Barra.
I just wondered, do you know what a period is for? It's where you're supposed to pause. Skip.
Shut up.
Just letting you know from now on.
Thank you. I'm sorry for trying to make the segment shorter. I mean, we're already at 10 minutes, so... 10 minutes and 53 seconds. So, yeah. We're doing quite good, actually.
So, territory mixing. Do you think TAC has showed up anywhere else other than, like... Well, like, has there been anything that, like, resembles TAC that wasn't confirmed as TAC?
No, I don't think so.
I'm trying to think.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe something on Zadaw.
Okay, I haven't read The Neverwar in a while, but didn't he have, like, something that, like, shot at the thing? It was, like, fireworks almost?
It was a missile.
No, did he?
Not a missile,
but it didn't describe it too good, I don't think.
It was, like, a rocket.
Okay.
It was, I think, yeah, because Winfaro.
I don't remember it going out right away and saying, yeah, it's a rocket.
Yeah, it did. I think
no, because he let one go off and it lit the whole building on fire.
It could have been TAC. That'd be pretty cool if TAC was used in the
Hindenburg. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. And if the territories are converging, then the TAC is going to be other places.
Yeah.
And if the turning point on, like, Second Earth would be... Because the Second Earth race is kind of violent.
Yeah.
We're violent people, so if TAC,
when you,
like,
think about it, we have technology, but we're still very primitive.
And I'm sorry to stereotype, if, like, to use the war in Iraq as an example, if they got a hold of it, it would be devastating, because it's TAC, and you throw it at something and it explodes like crazy. This is a depressing subject.
Yeah.
Let's get on to Quigs. The Quigs from Denderon.
The demon bears.
Demon bears. When dormant, they appear as yellow triangles, as though they are some sort of fungus. Oddly enough,
okay,
they also have...
What I don't get is, isn't they're only supposed to show up... The Quigs are only supposed to show up when Satan's
there.
But yet they kept them in cages. Like,
yeah, that was
Bobby,
weird.
Bobby was in Denderon while St. Dane and Press were still fighting back in New York.
I think that was a typo.
What do you mean?
Not a typo,
Continuary
error. Yeah, continuity. Restarting Firefox.
Hit later then.
But actually, I think that was an error, probably.
Well, either that, or it's something how St. Dane can be in more than one place at once.
Yeah, which means
he's been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
He's been Andy Mitchell since the beginning.
What if he's been on all territories since the beginning?
That's the thing.
And this is the wrong place to discuss that.
He's been pulling the strings ever since each territory has come into existence.
Yeah.
So he's a lot older than just Press's generation. He's been there with every generation of Traveler.
Because he can go to any time that he wants.
Yeah.
So if he was on Denderon...
Time isn't really relevant in this story.
If he was on Denderon from the beginning, did he fuel the war between the Betawans?
Yeah.
The Betawans, yeah. Travelers.
Was he Figgis?
Oh.
Like, was he Figgis from the beginning?
No. Figgis was eventually... Because Travelers
After
can...
Figgis discovered it, he killed him.
Travelers can talk to other Travelers and other people... And they understand the language, right? So, and Figgis at the start said, it's actually here under words and phrases, Figgis offering Bobby a sweater, Oga Tan Van, Ta Van Bursa.
But didn't he show Bobby the skeleton of Figgis?
Yep.
Don't you think that's a bit too much decomposed for how long the story was?
He was an attack mine.
So?
There's gotta be chemicals down there and explosives and, like, you gotta think something's gonna rot in that kind of environment. And it was cold and dark and damp and just, like, you'd be surprised at how fast things like that. Travelers. What do you think of Alder? Alder's a boring. Alder's a lot less boring than people give him credit for.
You just said he's boring, then you said he
No, and then I... Because I said it wrong. He's a lot less boring than people give him credit for.
I think he's pretty boring.
Guy on the Pendragon Adventure thinks he's gay.
I don't know. It's why. Like, it's like, there's something wrong with that. It doesn't...
Yeah, it's like the Seinfeld episode when he's, Did you see that episode of Seinfeld? When the reporter writes the article about Jerry and George being gay and they're not actually. And all through the episode they're like, not that there's anything wrong with that. It's pretty funny. I actually don't watch Seinfeld that much. I just watched it the other night and that was on. Anyway. Yeah, Alder's more interesting than people give him credit for. Because I think he could definitely come back. He is coming back, obviously, in Raven Rise, Chapter 1.
Yeah, but... What am I... His brother and his acolyte, are they ever going to shed some light on who they are or anything?
If Alder's coming back in Raven Rise, yes.
His acolyte definitely will.
Because we're going to spend...
Isn't his brother dead?
Yep.
Yeah, so then how are they going to shed that much light? Unless they give him a flashback sort of thing, where he, like, thinks about his brother and, like, talks about his life. Because we know nothing about his brother.
We will. I think we'll learn a lot more with the penultimate generation travelers.
I want to learn about, like, First Earth. Who was the penultimate for that? Who was Walt Disney?
Oh, I want to say Jesus so badly, but I know I'd get some angry emails. So I'm going to go with Walt Disney.
Except Walt Disney was probably still alive during the events of it. So. But who would it be? Like,
I don't know. Abraham Lincoln?
Definitely. It was Lincoln.
It was Lincoln.
Yeah.
It was Jane Jansen.
And the one before press?
Jane Jansen.
No, the one before press was definitely JFK. Because, you know, Abe Lincoln and
JFK's
similarities.
Wait, if... Okay, you know what? We're on First Earth now. Can we stop talking about First Earth?
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to edit that out because that was extremely offensive.
How?
JFK and Abe Lincoln's similarities.
Do you know how many similarities there has been?
They were both assassinated?
I know. We got this article, like, a couple years ago for social studies, and it was, like, a split thing, like a... Like, one of... Like, what was this? JFK had an advisor named Lincoln, and Lincoln had an advisor with the last name Kennedy.
Mm. Oh,
like, all these different similarities, like, their life.
So you weren't talking about the assassination?
No, I was talking about the similarities in their life.
Okay, I'll leave it in then. Anyway, this segment is dragging on far too long. I really like this territory talk segment, though. I think we should keep doing it. Well, obviously. A couple more weeks of it.
I think it's going to be canceled. The pilot
failed. Yeah. You guys send us your opinions and ideas on Chloral and what you guys thought about territory talk to halicast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail on our Skype name, Halicast, or at 1-206-202-1305. So, yeah, that's just about it. And we'll move on with the show, I guess.
Yeah.
What's up next?
I believe Circle of Klee.
All right. We'll see you at the Circle of Klee. It's time for a Halicast roundtable discussion. Join our hosts as they tackle a topic in the Pendragon series on
the Circle of Klee.
Circle of Klee time with VL and Fralf.
And the pen.
The key is back with us today. The amazing key of mysticalness, who is mystical and fantastically mystical.
What are we going to name this guy?
That guy?
He's this little green thing that looks like Robin Hood.
Humphrey.
Okay. All right,
let's put it over there.
No, Humphrey is our guest host.
Humphrey and the key are our new Halicast hosts. The Halicast foursome. Humphrey, the key, VL and Fralf. All right. This week on the Circle of Klee, we're talking about what we think the title for Raven Rise means. So, what do you think it means? I have a theory, but I'm going to wait to hear what you say before.
Well, I think you should go first, because you're more prepared with yours.
Well, if you insist.
I don't really have that much of a theory. I just think St. Dane can turn into a raven, and it's just going to be about that.
All right.
That's just saying, oh, look, he's a raven. All right, he rises
so
to power.
This is a pretty
long. Actually, you know what? I do have a theory. It's kind of like St. Dane can turn into a raven, mm-hmm. and like my theory is that there's a revolution on Second Earth, and that's what the guy at the podium is, and kind of like he's rising to power. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think it is.
Okay.
So you have like a topic of
I have a thread about it on Halestack.
Yeah, so you can go ahead and read yours.
So this is a very long theory, so get ready. Okay.
There's pen on my jeans.
What did you do?
There's pen ink all over my jeans.
Because anyway. Humphrey did it.
Yes,
okay.
Humphrey did it.
Okay, so say that Hal say that Hal was founded by 10 people, right? Including St. Dane. Okay?
Okay.
Say that Hal was founded by 10 people, including St. Dane. And what's key here is that the fact that all these other ancients say that founded Hala would share the same power to shapeshift and change their form at will, which is why St. Dane can change into whatever he wants. And one of the common forms is that of a raven, because they can fly, and that's just their symbol, right? Just say that. It's kind of far out there, but the travelers... What if the travelers... The reason they were chosen as travelers is because they are the reincarnations of these people, but only the last generation. And this is because the past is repeating itself, and the end of Hala will be brought on by the last generation of travelers as the beginning was brought on by the ancients. This was all written in a prophecy by the ancients at the beginning of time, theoretically. And the catalyst in this theory, the thing that makes it, is the fact that Neville Winter can also turn herself into a raven.
It's because
you
she can shapeshift.
Yeah.
It's kind of like... think of Star Wars. There's some things that the good guys can do, but the bad guys can't. There's something the bad guys can do that the good guys can't.
This is not Star Wars.
I know. I'm just comparing.
You don't step out of your door one day and decide to turn into a raven. It doesn't work like that.
I know. I'm not saying that. But, like, the only Star Wars movie that I saw was the third one. And it was, like, the reason that he wanted to become all evil, and, like, he started becoming evil is because the guy promised him he could get the power to heal this person as one of the dark powers.
And he was lying because the guy died, like, 10 minutes later.
What?
No, his wife died or something.
At the end of the movie.
Whatever, anyway.
Can
we keep going with my theory,
please? I know. But I'm thinking that maybe something like healing, that's one of the good guy powers, and then transforming, that, or like shapeshifting, that's one of the bad guy powers.
Okay, well...
That's what I'm just putting out there.
But Neverwinter can also turn herself into a raven. Perhaps Neva is realizing her power as the reincarnation of the ancients, helped along by St. Dane. The other travelers could have this same thing happen to them, and discover their true identities, including Bobby... who is the parallel with St. Dane, the reincarnation of St. Dane.
How would he be reincarnated if he never died?
Because that's the thing, St. Dane cheated.
Because he broke out of the territory of the dead?
Because St. Dane cheated, and St. Dane... That's why St. Dane is like this. He wanted Hala for himself. He didn't want to share it with the travelers and the ancients. And he broke the I don't know what you'd call it.
He broke
the chain
the
of what was supposed to happen. He broke the rules and stayed alive. And while his reincarnation was out there, he was also out there. And say, that's why he can predict what Bobby does. That's why he knows exactly what's going to happen.
No, he knows what he's going to do because he's manipulative. He has everything planned out.
Yes, exactly, because this prophecy...
That's the kind of villains that I like.
And but
anyway.
St. Dane can... If Bobby is parallel with St. Dane, that's why St. Dane knows what's going to happen, because he is Bobby. They're the same thing. And Bobby will be able to work around St. Dane's ability to predict what Bobby's going to do once he finds out that St. Dane is him, because he'll be able to outthink him. Because he will no longer be attached to him by that chain of knowing, of not knowing. And he shares a mind with Bobby, but when Bobby finds out, he can split his mind away from Bobby. And, yeah. So that's why I believe the title of Book 9 means that the travelers will discover their history and the fact that they are closely interrelated to the founders of Hala, and that's why they were chosen to be travelers, because they will find their powers and rise up as ravens, as one, to save Hala.
Okay, I have my own little take on this. I'm like a... So these 10 people just, like, existed, and they made it, and they made the territories? How did it start?
Well, St. Dane said that Hala is only the beginning. Which means...
Okay, what if it was, like, the 10 of them were creating an idealistic world?
Right.
10 idealistic worlds. St. Dane was one of their understudies, and he didn't like that.
That could be,
and
I guess.
He wanted these 10 worlds for himself. By doing that, he's putting them into the convergence and making one world as one, and rules it.
That sounds a little... And I'm sorry, I did it again. That sounds like Voldemort from Harry Potter. It really does. And I don't think DJ would want to do that, because he would...
Well, no, it was like these 10 people were making the idealistic world, because there is, like, another world outside of Hala.
Yeah.
And what it is, and they were just making these 10 worlds, but the reason that there's all these problems on them now is because Saint-Ain has been there. He knew about it because he was one of the people. He was like an acolyte of one of them.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I just think that sounds too much, too cliched, too Harry Potter. If Saint-Ain, because Voldemort, it was the same thing. Voldemort looked up to the founders of Hogwarts, and wanted to have Hogwarts and the Wizarding World for himself. Saint-Ain looked up to the founders of Hala, and wanted to have Hala for himself.
Like, he was just like, they were teaching other people in the ways of whatever they can do. Like, the Traveler powers are, like, what they could do, and they were training people on how to use it.
Which makes it sound even more like Harry Potter.
Well, I'm sorry.
I just don't think DJ would... I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't think DJ would want to...
Well, it's...
Because with the wide success of Harry Potter...
I'm not even trying to compare them. Like, I don't know, it's... the way that I picture it is, like, they're in this big temple thing, and they're around, and they're gonna start making it, and he's just kind of in the back, and, like, Saint-Ain is kind of in the back, and he overhears that they're doing this, and he wants the world for himself.
I guess.
So he's...
That'd be creepy.
And, like, they... And, like, it's... Anyway.
Anyway. How long are we here? What else can we talk about? Just the... More ideas about why the title's Raven Rise. Because we're trying to cram in as much Raven Rise discussion as we can before...
Yeah, actually comes out.
Oh, a week and one day after my birthday. What a sweet birthday present. Raven Rise.
We should do Hallicast late next week so that we can do one about Raven Rise without the live show.
No, we should do it before so we can get all our last minute stuff in and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All the fun. I think this, you're wrong. You're an idiot. Blah.
Anyway. I don't know, what else do you think it could be?
I don't know. wait. Let's get a big clip of the cover of Raven Rise.
It's in like, I thought in the wallpaper you can see.
Library, nope. You know what, they took that off.
You can see New York City buildings in the background, can't you?
Yeah, but they also, you used to be able to see library on it. They took it off because I think DJ didn't want it to say library, and then the artist put it in, not knowing, and then, I read that somewhere, I think. But, anyway, I think that's it. We don't have much more to talk about. We're getting boring now.
Yeah.
So, what are we going to talk about next week? About Second Earth Turning Point.
Sure.
Alright, we'll talk about Second Earth Turning Point next week. If you have any ideas, theories, opinions, messages, blah blah blah, whatever, on Second Earth Turning Point, you can send those to halcast@gmail.com or send us a voicemail. And we've already told you how to do that. So I think that's about it for the Circle of Klee, and we'll be heading on with the Quilling Games. It's time for the Quilling Games, Hallicast's weekly Pendragon quiz. Listen closely for the question, then post your answer on www.hallister.ca.gs. Welcome back to the Quilling Games.
For episode 11.
I'm VL.
I'm Frelf.
And we are the Quilling Games leaders, not Vigo and LeBurge, as previously thought. Okay, I'm sorry. anyway, the Quilling Games is our weekly Pendragon quiz. You can get in on the Quilling Games by going to hallicstar.ca.gs and posting your answer in the Quilling Games subforum under Hallicast, which is under the Hallinet section of the board. Anyway, we will ask a question, and you can take your answer to where I just said... Dun, dun, dun. Anyway...
Who was last week's winner?
I have it right there. What was last week's question, Prof?
Last week's question. The members of the Circle of Klee all wear red robes, except for the Viceroy. What color robes would the Viceroy wear? Also, name the two people during Blackwater who held the position of Viceroy.
And last week's winner was Bobby Pendragon 93 from Halastare with his answer. All the Klees in the circle wear red robes except for the Viceroy, and he wears blue robes. Ranjan was the Viceroy, and then Timber, who was disguised as Saint Dame, which he forgot to add, but nobody else answered, so it doesn't really matter. And he is completely and perfectly correct, and he is getting his shout-out on the show right now. Bobby Pendragon 93. Anyway. So yeah, and of course he answered by going to halastare.ca.gs and posting in the...
Another plug!
Yeah. And this week's question is a who said it question. Who said the following? Mass deaths? It's unnatural. It can only be the work of St. Dane. And if you can tell us who said that in the Quillen Games subform, under the Halcast form, under the Halnet section on www.halastare.ca.gs, and if you can
Another
tell us
plug.
That... Yep. And remember, one answer per person per week. You cannot win 2 weeks in a row, and be specific. And I think that's it for our Quilling Games this week.
Yeah.
Moving on. And we're here, wrapping up Halicast number 11. 11!
11!
11!
Not as amazing as 10.
Yeah, well, now we don't have zeros anymore, remember?
Well, 10's a cool number, though.
10 is a pretty cool number. I like 12
we'll
better.
We'll have a zero on 20, so...
Because my birthday's on the 12th.
Yeah.
That's why I like 12 better. My birthday's...
Yeah, it would be so awesome if it was, like, the 12th episode on the 12th of May.
It'd
be even better if it was the 12th episode on the 12th
actually,
of December.
Actually, you know what? My lucky number is 12, and 12 is going to be the episode that's out for Raven Rise.
Is it?
It is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Episode 12 is next week. Raven Rise comes out next week.
Yeah, but next week we're going to be doing our little last-minute thoughts, and then the next... Then
but
the
still episode 12.
Yeah, but it's not really for Raven Rise, because we're not going to recap anything, because...
Okay. Well, anyway.
We should just pre-hash it.
The live show will be episode 13. Episode 13. That means something's going to go wrong with the live show because it's lucky 13. Yeah. So I guess that's enough. So yeah, about the live show. Just pull this up here. Copyrighted music.
As you can probably tell, we are very prepared.
Yes.
We spend all of our day making how
every day. And not procrastinating and playing Mario Kart at all.
Mario Kart, I think you mean.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah, after Raven Rise, we'll be celebrating the release with a live show. And we already said that. We gave the time last week and I think a couple weeks ago. May 30th at 6:30 p.m. You can join us on TalkShoe for the live show. If we'll put the link in the show notes to our TalkShoe page thingy where you can go sign up and listen to us talk. And we will be taking calls... for people who want to give their ideas and opinions on the book. We'll also be doing a live Quilling Games, because you can't do a Halcast without the Quilling Games. We'll be recapping the book and more, so join us for a great time with Halcast.
It'll be like a trivia panel.
Yeah, like quiz stuff. You'll be competing head-to-head. That is if we get enough callers. And actually, if you want a free call thing, a good way to do that so you can call in and call this number... If you're in the U.S. or Canada, that is, which I doubt we have any listeners that are outside of the U.S. and Canada, unless you're, like, Bangladeshian or something. Yeah, you can check out iCall at www.icall.com, and that lets you call local and long-distance numbers in U.S. and Canada free, so it's pretty sweet.
Doesn't it only last, like, 5 minutes, though?
Yeah, that's all they're going to need.
Okay. I know, but what about us? What are we going to do? 20 Skype
accounts? I haven't
figured
that out yet. We could do the Skype account thing again. Maybe use iCall and keep hanging up and trying our call again. I might just use my cell phone, depending on how much it costs. Yeah. So, some other announcements stuff. Halicast has a MySpace. You can add us on MySpace. I actually know absolutely nothing about MySpace. So, you can check us out I don't know anything, so I'm completely worthless, and our profile's terrible.
We can always get a coder to fix it up.
Yeah, we actually have a coder, but he never replied back after I gave him his first assignment, so I'm guessing that means he quit. Our MySpace, add us as a friend. We have no friends yet. Yeah.
Nobody
have friends
MySpace
anyway.
Does, because we're all, you know, I just made fun of MySpace.
Wow, you just completely generalized an entire... Oh. Yeah.
I like making fun of websites.
Mm-hmm, apparently so. Also, we've got some great, fun other stuff. We need transcribers. Send us an email at howlcast@gmail.com if you want to be a transcriber, and attach any segment. Attach the most recent Circle of Glee segment for that week, and that you transcribed, because we need transcribers to put them up on HelloWiki. Oh, also, something else I want to talk about. Last week on Circle of Clay, we talked about the Goth Vetter and how he said it was the way it was meant to be and all this stuff in Reality Bug. Actually, let me get that exact quote up here. You can sing or something.
Yeah, me singing, joking, right?
I'm not sure. I don't know what page it's on. But anyway, the Goth Vetter says this is the way it was meant to be and all this. And we said, oh, well, that must be an indicator that he has something to do. And it's true, you guys pointed us out and told us how wrong we were, because it was in a Lifelight fantasy, and we apologize for that. That was a bit of a error on our part, so we are very sorry.
Not on our part, on the topic creator.
Yeah, it's all AMG's fault. We can blame it all on him.
Yes.
Ooh, 8 days till Raven Rise. I put the nice countdown from DJ's website on Alice there.
I think if you want Hellcast avatars.
If you want Hellcast avatars, we have a nice new Hellcast avatar thread. We're really unplanned for this exit segment thing. Because we forgot about recording it, and then we decided to record it right now. So, okay. Anyway, I think that's pretty much it. Send us an email at howlcast@gmail.com. Send us a voicemail at 1206-202-1305. Or at Skype name Howlcast. You can visit us at www.howlstar.ca.gs for Howlstar forums. Howlwiki.wiki-site.com for Howlwiki. Howlcast.podomatic.com for Howlcast. Or for our Howlcast blog, howlcast.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening, guys. Thanks, it was a great episode this week. Looking forward to next week, and especially our live show. This is VL, signing off at last.
And this is Ralph signing off. Podcasters in the lamp.
No, the best podcasters in the lamp.
Yeah, you know, like I ain't the brightest bulb in the lamp.
Oh, there goes my phone.
Editing things out for the wind.
Yep. Da da da. And this is Humphrey signing off.
This is the pen signing off.
The pen can't talk, you idiot.
Okay, I guess not. Anyway, thanks, guys. See you later.